Maybe. We need that.
Okay, getting back to some of the sugars of Geirus, we have just one or two more sugars left. I think we can finally make a siyum on the halachas of Geirus for this man. So the next sugar that we're going to discuss today is the sugar of Geir Kotlin, an important sugar, very relevant to sugar lemaisa, a situation where a person wants to convert, but the person is under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. Usually it's not the person himself who is coming to present themselves for conversion. It's usually associated with a situation of adoption. So the question is, what are the parameters, what are the ramifications of this halacha of a non-Jewish Kotlin or Ketana? How can we go about converting them? Is it possible at all? What are some of the limitations? So comes Gemara in the first of the Marmakomos in Ksubas Mefid Aleph and Aleph, and the Gemara introduces to us this tremendous chiddush that even is such a concept of a Ger Kotlin. Amar Ravuna Ger Kotlin, Ravuna Sal Daz Beisdin. So Ravuna says that yes, we could take a non-Jewish child or a Kotlin or a Ketana and convert them, and Beisdin is going to supervise this. Beisdin is going to be in charge of this. So the Gemara asks what I think is the strangest question in the entire sugya. My Kamashvul, and the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. In a million years, I wouldn't have said such a thing that you could be Megayer Ger Kotlin. We know that a Kotlin who tries to do something in Halacha is usually null and void. A Kotlin can't be Mekadosh Nishin, a Kotlin can't buy and can't sell, can't do anything in Halacha. So how in the world does the Gemara even think that you could have a Ger Kotlin? The Gemara not only thought it, the Gemara thought it was obvious. So the Gemara says, yes, obvious based on the following principle. Ma'ika Mashmalon Dishusulo, Vizachim Yadav Shalom Afano. But even though it's true that a Kotlin cannot do something on behalf of themselves, but a Gadol, a grown-up, can do something which is advantageous on behalf of a Kotlin. Let's say, for example, if I want to give a gift to a Kotlin, the Kotlin is not around, even if he's physically around, but halachically he's not around, I can give a gift to somebody else, and that somebody else picks it up on behalf of the Kotlin, and that's what's called an halacha, zochim yadim shalom b'fanav. I can do something advantageous for somebody, even if they're not physically and halachically present. So the Gemara says this principle of Ger Kotlin can work through the mechanics of Zochim Yadam Shalom B'fanav, that being Jewish is considered to be a schus, it's considered to be something which is, we hope, advantageous. So we can do it on behalf of the Kotlin, even though the Kotlin is not technically, at least halachically, not really in front of us. So the Gemara says, if that's the principle that Ger Kotlin is working with, that it's based on the premise of the zchus, the zochlem shel b'fanav, so takach pshita, takach obvious, everybody knows that tanina, it's a beferish mishnah, zochlem yadam shel b'fanav, v'yin chavim yadam shel b'fanav, that you can do something advantageous for somebody without them being present. You cannot do something which is not advantageous, something which is detrimental to a person, that you cannot do without his permission. So says the Gemara, you're right, that the principle of Ger Kotlin is based on Zochin, and Zochin is really a very simple, straightforward principle. You don't need any statement of Rav Huna to teach a Zochin. It's already a Mishnah. What's the purpose of Rav Huna's statement? Now to tame, I would have thought of Gicham Bef Kera Nichalei, that Kaimon Ebimah de Bef Kera Nichalei, I would have thought that maybe it's not so advantageous for the person to be Jewish. If you'd ask an average 10-year-old kid, maybe he'd tell you he'd rather be a guy, he'd rather remain not Jewish, because that way he can do whatever he wants. Freedom, he doesn't have to be any bound by any limitations. And we have precedent for this. There is a sugya in the first Brach of Masechus Gittin about an Eved Kenani. Is it considered to be advantageous for an Eved Kenani to be freed or not? So a whole discussion in the Gemara about this, because maybe the Eved would rather be an Eved. Why does he have to be freed? If he's an Eved, he can do whatever he wants, I mean, to a certain degree. Whereas after he becomes a Ben Chorin, so then there's certain limitations in terms of Arayas, more the halachas of Bias Asura, so more chomer for him. So Kamash Malon, the Gemara says, Lahani Mili Godol, the Tom Tami Surah, that even though it may be true that an Eved Kenani perhaps would prefer to be a life of Hefkeros, that's only because he already knows what such a life is like. He's already a Godol, he's already tasted the taste of Chet. Of Al Katan's Chusula, whereas a Katan, it's a 2-year-old kid, so he doesn't know any better. So for him, forget, of course it's better. Of course it's advantageous for him to be Jewish. The only svara to say that it would be to his detriment to be Jewish is that he's already used to a life of chet. Kids under bar mitzvah. How many chatam did he do already before the age of bar mitzvah? So therefore we assume that for the child to become Jewish, that's only positive, that's only his chus, and therefore zoch v'yadav shalav b'fanav. So in all the dust settles in the Gemara,
it's considered because the more man who doesn't know from all in the world, and we have to assume that when he will go up.
Oh, yeah, okay, we're going to get to that assumption in a minute. So at this stage, the Gemara is quite clear that the principle of Jekotan is working based on the premise of Zochins. The only question that was a little bit shaky was, is it really a Zochus or not? And the Gemara concludes that, in fact, it is a Zochus. So now the Gemara continues and qualifies this statement a little bit. Amar Rav Yosef, just continue on in the Marmon. The reason why I skipped the lines, there's about five lines in the middle of the Gemara that are not relevant for us. So Amar Rav Yosef, Higdili Cholim Limchos, that even though it's true that we can convert this child based on Zochim Yadam Shlo Befonov, once the child turns bar mitzvah, so he or she has the right to be mocha. They have the right to revoke. They have the right to say they don't want to be Jewish. Higdili Cholim Limchos. Why should that be so? Why should they have a right to revoke it? So the answer is simple. Now, if the whole halacha of Gekoton is based on Zochim Yadam Shlo Befonov, so we have a principle within Zochim Yadam Shlo Befonov that's only true if, in fact, the person, when he finds out about it, is happy about it. What would that halacha be if I want to give a gift to Reuven, and I give it to Shimon, and I say, Shimon, pick up this gift on behalf of Reuven. Reuven's in China. Reuven comes back the next week and he says, I don't want your present. I don't want to be obligated to you in anything. Don't do me any favors. So then the Gemara says, Befeirushim Rabbi Basra, that gift is null and void. Because once the recipient of the gift declares that to him personally it is not advantageous, so it turns out that it was never zechus in the first place, and the whole zochel, liyadim shlo befonov, is retroactively cancelled. So Rav Yosef's statement makes a lot of sense. So if the whole principle of geirus is working with zochel, liyadim shlo befonov, once it turns out not to be a zechus, once the katan declares at the time of our mitzvah that he's not happy with being Jewish, so it's not a zechus anymore, it's not a zechus, and then the whole geirus is pokal and afreya. The whole geirus is undone retroactively. So the Gemara questions, is that really true? That Higdulichol Mimchos, Eishve Abaye, Abaye jumped in Rav Yosef and he asked, Hagiyaris Vashvui Vashivcha, Shenifnu Vashidishgayru Vashidishtachu Pchusus in Belshol Shalvi Amechon, Ksibos and Messiah. If you have, we're going to leave out two out of the three cases, are not relevant for us, but the case of a Giyaris, if you have a little girl who was converted before the age of 3 years old, and now she gets married 20 years later, so her ksuba is 200 zuz. What does that have to do with Uchus ksubas? So we know the Mishnah tells us about Sechus ksubas that the general rule is that the ksuba for a besula, for a girl who never had relations before, her ksuba is going to be 200 zuz. A ksuba for a woman who already has had relations, either because she's a grusha, she's divorced, she's an almana, or even if she's a ba'ula, so the ksuba is only going to be 100 zuz, going to be half the amount. So the question becomes, when you have a giyores, can we assume that the giyores is a basula, or do we have to be choshesh that maybe the giyores is a ba'ula? So the general rule is as follows. Whenever a woman converts, we have to assume the worst case scenario, we have to assume that she's already considered to be a ba'ula. So that's in fact true for other areas of halacha as well, in terms of kahuna, and other related halachas, but at least in terms of ilchus ksubas, so anytime a giyores gets married, so we automatically write in a ksuba 100 zuz. The exception to this rule is if the girl converted, this little baby, non-Jewish girl converted, before the age of 3 years old. Why is that important? Because before the age of 3 years old, even if she technically, theoretically had relations with somebody, that's meaningless in halacha, because there's a shir halacha l'mashu nisinai that any bia that takes place before 3 years old is bat l'mavut. That's a meaningless statement. That doesn't count for anything. So ein bia osa bia. That's halacha l'mashu nisinai. That's the source of the machlekes in the Gedolei HaPoskim. Does that therefore mean that all of the requirements of tzniyos, whatever goes together with hukos tzniyos, does that automatically kick in at the age of 3? Because that's the age of a biyos abiyah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that whatever your standards, whatever those particular standards of dressing appropriately are, begin at the age of 3. That's according to the Mishnah Berurah. And the Chazanish, the Pashas disagreed. The Chazanish said that some of these halachas are not so much a function of the technical halacha biyos abiyah, but a more function of here or other things that are going to potentially get people to be excited about. So at the age of 3.5 years old, we hope that a normal person is not going to be overly excited about this little girl. So then many of those halachas of tzniyos wouldn't apply until a little bit older. I'm not saying when that little bit older is. We'll leave it at this point. But getting back to this story. So comes the Gemara and says that the little girl converted before the age of 3. So our ksuba is still 200 zuz because she's obviously still a basula. There's no reason to think that she's not a basula. So he asks the Gemara, how can this girl have a ksuba in the first place? This little girl is going to get married, and she's potentially going to be revoked her geirus. So she's going to go ahead and get married at the age of 20. And now all of a sudden she's going to say, wait a second, I got converted 18 years ago, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. So if Rav Yosef is right, you can always cancel the Geirus. How can you ever give this girl a ksuba? How can you write a ksuba to her? We're going to write a ksuba to this girl on a tzad that she may turn out to be not Jewish. So she's going to go ahead and take that money and run. So the Gemara says that's hard to believe. So the Gemara says no, l'chi godla. So the Gemara says that no, she's going to be ready gedola. So yes, the Gemara l'chi godla navimchi benafka. So she's going to be mocha then also. Says the Gemara no, kevah she gedula sha'achas la michta shuva nichal limchos. Rav Yosef didn't mean to say that she could be mocha when she's 85 years old. Rav Yosef meant to say that when she turns bas mitzvah at that moment in time, so she has to decide either yes or no. So he gedula limchos otad right at the time of bas mitzvah. But once she's already getting married, she's 20 years old, she's getting married already. So tough luck. Then she doesn't have an option to be mocha anymore. And again, the parallel to the case of giving it a gift. If I give a gift to Shimon to pick it up on behalf of Reuven, and Reuven comes back immediately and his first reaction is, I don't want that gift, then the gift is null and void. But if Reuven says, okay, that's fine, thank you for the gift, and then a week later he says, you know what, don't do me any favors, so then the property belongs to him. If he wants to be mafkid, he can be mafkid. He wants to give it back, give it back. The kozman that he doesn't give it back, so it still belongs to him, because everything depends on what his first reaction was. So basically, all the Gemara told us
that... Who said that the Gedilo is the pizza? For a boy, you know, the moment that he can become a well.
Right.
So,
right. But for these halachas, we assume that because we're treating him as being Jewish. So,
but it's a question of,
you mean it's a little bit of a catch 22.
But it's also a question of confidence. Like the man that got the matana. If you already accepted it, the moment that you become cognizant and you didn't protest, so a child can protest at age 8.
No, but whatever he's doing, anything that Yisrael does, even if he understands, he's 12 and a half years old, he understands exactly what's going on, but his protest is in chav. That's meaningless, because he's a la by das. So you want to tie him in, but we're trying to determine whether he's Jewish in the first place. That's the catch-22 of this problem. But that's what the poskim assume, that gun here means bar mitzvah. So the whole part of the Gemara is pretty straightforward. There are a lot of chidushim here, but again, the flow of the Gemara is pretty straightforward. There's a chidush of ger katan. It's not such a tremendous chidush. It's part of, based on the principle of Zachar Yom Shalom Afanav, and therefore it's limited by Zachar Yom Shalom Afanav, i.e. Gdil Yichalam Limchos, but Gdil Yichalam Limchos only applies at the first moment of being Mocha.
When's the Chayav Nisa when he does a certain Avera?
That's what the post can point out, that the Shear of Yud Yevushanim, the Shear of Bar Mitzvah is Halacha Moshe Messina, that wasn't given to Goyim, that was given to Jews. So the Shear for Goyim is probably once they understand what's going on. Once they're pretty aware.
But he can't be punished once he understands his 10, and
maybe for this particular guy over here or a regular guy?
Yeah, for this guy here.
So he's not a guy. That's the thing, he's a Jew. So we're not going to punish him until after Bar Mitzvah, because we're treating him as being Jewish.
But he's not Jewish until he's
a... I didn't say he's not Jewish until he's Bar Mitzvah. I said he has the option to be Mocha until he's Bar Mitzvah, and that'll cancel it retroactively. If he doesn't cancel it, I didn't say he's not Jewish yet. Tyson Sanhedrin says that, but we didn't say that yet. We got a while to go.
So you're saying that on or about her Bar Mitzvah, someone has to sit down with this young lady and say, you were not Jewish, you were born to non-Jewish parents, you're not Jewish, whatever.
I didn't say someone has to do that. I just said that if...
But let's say nobody does it. So you mean she can't be okay under the chuppah then and say, oh,
maybe.
Now I realize. I have someone here, so now I realize.
Maybe you're a chadam. I didn't say that. I didn't say anyone's mechur to do at the age of 12 or the age of 13. I just said if this is the flow of things that the Gemara is describing, that assuming that this child knows all along, and then they have the option to be mech, and then not mech at 13, so then fine, then they're Jewish, and that's it.
There's no tzedakah. Good morning.
Yeah. So even though this is the flow of the Gemara, and it seems pretty clear from the simple reading of the Gemara that this halach of Gekotan is predicated on the principle of Zohar Yom Shalom Afanav, there is a very, very real problem that many, many Rishonim deal with in addressing this sugya. And that depends on how one reads the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Ayin Aleph of Aveis, in the second of the Mar Mekamos. The Gemara is discussing the principles of Shlichos and the principles of Zechia. So Shlichos means when Reuven actually appoints Shimon to do something on his behalf. So we spoke about that in many cases in the past. Shluch Shalom Kimoso. Zechiah seems to be somewhat related, but not exactly the same. Zechiah means that rather than Reuven appointing Shimon to do something on his behalf, Shimon has appointed himself, in effect. Shimon has decided to do something on behalf of Reuven without being appointed to do so. So those are two different principles, Shlichus and Zechiyah. Obviously, Shlichus applies whether it's advantageous or whether it's detrimental, because I'm deciding, if I tell you to do something, whether it's good for me or bad for me, I'm the Bailam, I'm in charge. So if I decide to tell you to do it for me, then Shlichus on Kemosa is going to kick in. When it comes to Zochin, in order for Shimon to do something without authorization, obviously it can only work if it's advantageous, not if it's detrimental. That's Zochin that I'm from the fun of, V'ein Chavish Levifun. So the Gemara is discussing about Metzir Nef Ayin Aleph, which of these principles, either of them, apply to non-Jews. So the Gemara says that Shlichos clearly does not apply to a Goyim. There's no question that there's no Shlichos for Goyim. The Gemara derives from Sukkim and Kedushin Nef Mem Aleph. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, Atem. The Pasuk says by Truma, Atem Gam Atem. That not only can you be Mafish Truma, but your Shlichim can be Mafish Truma also. The Gemara says, just as the Torah is speaking to Jews, Atem are Jews, so Gam Atem, anyone who's included in the Pasha Shlichos has to be Jewish. So there's no question that a Goy is out of the Pasha Shlichos. That a Goy can't be a Shlich for a Jew can't be a Shlich for a Goy. According to most possible, a Goy can't be a Shlich for another Goy also. That's really a more complicated question, but not for now. So the Gemara says, even though it's true that there's no Shlichos for Goyim, maybe Zechiyah there is for Goyim. That's what Ravina suggests, and Bavitzi and I and Aleph and Beis. The second of the Mamakomas, Ravina Amar, Nihid the Shlichos Benachri Leishlei, even though there's no Shlichos for a Goy, Zechiyah Medirabar Islei, maybe at least Medirabanan, we'll read it the way it appears in that text right now, maybe at least Medirabanan there is a principle of Zechiyah for Goyim. And the Gemara says there's precedent for this. Nihid Avia Kotan, just as a Kotan, Katan lava pagav the leishlei shlichos, that a katan clearly there's no shlichos for either. Here the Gemara never spells out how do we know that's true. The Rishon Lev Machlokes, what's the mocha that there's no shlichos for katan? But that's a given. The Gemara says beferish, there's no shlichos for katan. Yet istay zechiyah midirabanan. Yet there is zechiyah for a katan. I can be zocha on something on behalf of a katan. So the Gemara says just because there's no shlichos doesn't necessarily translate to mean there's no zechiyah. So the Gemara says no, that comparison may or may not be true. And the Gemara goes on to discuss whether those two cases are parallel or not. So again, we're going to leave out the details of Bamatia and Aleph right now. We want to focus on one phrase in the Gemara. The Gemara said that Katan, even though there's no shlichus for Katan, islay zechiyah. He does have zechiyah. And the key word in this phrase is the next word, midirabbanan. So the Gemara seems to say, black on white, that the principle of zechiyah for a katan is only midirabbanan. Min ha-Torah, a katan doesn't exist. Min ha-Torah, just as there's no shlichus for katanim, there's no zechiyah for katanim. In fact, some Rishonim coined the phrase, zechiyah mitam shlichus. That zechiyah is pretty much a subcategory of shlichus. Zechiyah is subject to the same limitations as shlichus. Shlichus means that Reuven actively appoints Shimon to act in his behalf. And Zechiyah means Shimon takes it upon his own initiative to act on behalf of Reuven. So it's pretty much the same. They're pretty much related to one another. So come some Rishonim and say, on a level of the Araisa, if there's no Shlichus for Ketanim, how could there possibly be Zechiyah for Ketanim? So when the Gemara speaks about Zechiyah for a Katan, so the key word in this whole phrase is Vidirabah. It's a special Tekhara Sechamim to make life easy for the Ketanim, to make things accessible for Ketanim. But on a perfect level of the Araisa, in the perfect world in the Torah, there's no Zechiyah for Ketanim whatsoever. That's what many, many Rishonim learned. Tosfos had this understanding of the Gemara. If that is the case, that the whole institution of Zechiyah for a Katan is only the Dirabanan, then we're left with a very, very difficult question in terms of Ger Katan. How in the world can the parish of Ger Katan, how can the din of Ger Katan get off the ground if Ger Katan is based on Zochin Yarim Shal Bafanav, and Zochin Yarim Shal Bafanav for a Katan is only the Dirabanan? So if you put two and two together, it led to a very, very strange conclusion that the whole principle of Ger Katan is only Midrabanan. It means the whole parasha, the whole ability to be Megai or a child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah cannot possibly be Bina Torah. Because it only works based on Zochin, and Zochin itself is only Midrabanan, so how can Ger Katan be anything more than Midrabanan? So Tosfos Sukkos and Daf Yud Aleph raises that possibility. And quite a strange possibility is the Gemara opening up the possibility for us that you have an individual in front of us who's not Jewish min HaTorah, but Midrabanan is Jewish. That's a very, very strange concept. We used to think, I mean, we talk about Din Midrabanan a lot, but that we've never yet bumped into. A very strange idea. You have a guy who wants to know, is he Jewish or is not Jewish? Depends. Midarai, he says he's not Jewish, but Midrabanan, he is Jewish. Very, very strange idea. But if you just connect the dots, that's what it sounds like, according to the simple reading of this Gemara. So how do you get around that problem? We don't want to come to that conclusion. Such a strange halachic conclusion. It's almost not shy to say such a thing. So how do we solve this problem? So there's one very, very simple way to solve this problem, and that's the solution that a whole group of Rishonim say. It's called take out your little eraser and erase one word in the Gemara B'Metzia. The one word is Midrabbanan. It means the Gemara says that Chotan Islay Zechia, so half the Rishonim did not have the word Midrabbanan in there. Half the Rishonim had Islay Zechia, period. End of discussion, which would lead us to believe that it's Deraisa. So there is a major machlokes, Pesach, and the Rambam, and the Rashba, every Rishon in the world gets into the question, this halach of Zoch and the other Shlomo Fanov, does that apply for a Katan in HaTorah? Does it not apply for a Katan in HaTorah? Half the Rishonim had the word Midrabbanan, which led them to the conclusion that it doesn't work in HaTorah. The other half of the Rishonim didn't have the word Midrabbanan, led them to the conclusion that it does work in HaTorah. What's the question? What's the conceptual question? So here the Rishonim used the phrases that we coined a moment ago. Is the Chiyah Mita'am Shlichos? Is the Chiyah not Mita'am Shlichos? What is the relationship between Zechiyah and Shlichos? Shlichos for Katan for sure doesn't exist in the Torah. That's not a question. If you hold that Zechiyah and Shlichos are basically the same, one is with an appointment, one's without an appointment, but they're pretty much the same. They're pretty much bound by the same limitation. So if you hold that Zechiyah and Shlichos are one and the same, so then there's no, it's not shaykh to have Zechiyah for Katan in the Torah. If you hold that Zechiyah is separate and distinct, it works with its own rules and regulations, then it would be feasible to have Zechiyah for Katan in the Torah. So that's an open-ended question. That's a machlekes we've shown him. Again, it's a gears of machlekes. It's a gears of machlekes that created a conceptual machlekes. So this machlokes plays out now in our sugya. If you take the approach that zechiyah for katan is deraisa, then der katan is deraisa. If you hold that zechiyah for katan is only midrabbanan, then you're looking around. So taka, how could der katan be minatora? So the answer is based on a different gemara. Look at the third of the gemara mekamos in kedushin ben beizim and aleph. The gemara has the following statement: minayim yisomim shabo lachlok benichsi avin. How do you know that if a person passed away and he left a bunch of little kids, and now we want to divide up the property for these little kids that roll under the age of our mitzvah? So how are we going to do that? Divide up to the 10-year-old and the 5-year-old? Who's going to choose? Who's going to be in charge of this property? So how do you know Shabazim Amidalam Apatropis Lachovaluskos? How do you know that the halacha requires that Bezin has to step in and appoint a guardian? They have to appoint an apatropis to take care of the property of the Yisomim. So, and they have to do it whether it works for the benefit or for the detriment of the Yisomim. So yes, the Gemara Lachov Amai. Why in the world would you do it if it's detrimental for the Yisomim? So the Gemara says, no, what it means like this, El Lachovam Nas Laschus. It means, obviously we're trying to look out for the best interest of the Yisomim. Sometimes you have to make investments. Maybe right now the market's going to go down, but maybe it'll go up in the future. So the apotropis has to have a certain leeway to do things that ultimately if his goal is to better the situation of the Yisomim. So how do you know you have a right to do that? How do you know that Bezin has not only a right, they have an obligation to appoint a guardian to take care of the property of the Yisomim? So the Gemara is out from a pasuk, Tapalema, V'nasi Echad, Nasi Echad, Mimate Tichu. The Pasuk says in Vashas Masa, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so there was a different Nasi, each prince, each leader of each of the Shvatim was in charge of dividing up the property. So the Gemara says some people at the property were Ketanim, not everybody was over the age of Bar Mitzvah, so who was taking care of them? So the answer was the Nasi, that was part of his job. So the Gemara is in Daf Yom, we just learned a couple of days ago about the whole Chiluk Ha'aretz, how they divided up the land of Eretz Yisrael. So part of the Chalukas of Yerusha was for Ketanim. So obviously if the Torah is setting up the system, the Ketanim's property is being taken care of, so that's a Deraisa system, and we can extrapolate from the Eludoras as well. So that's not the Din, that's the Din Minat Torah, that an Apotropis can take care of the Nechasim of the Yisomim. So come Poskim and ask, wait a second, how does that work? We just got finished saying that we're not sure that Zoch and the Arm Shom Bafanov works for Ketanim. Shlichus doesn't work for Ketanim. The regular rules of doing things on behalf of other people may not work for Ketanim. So why is this the exception to the rule? So the Shach in Yeridei and Timon Shinei, in part of the Maamar Kavod, it's a long, long Shach. The Shach writes that the answer is very simple. That this is Beis Din and everything else is not Beis Din. That there's some new halacha called the Koyach of Beis Din. That Beis Din can do things that Yechidim cannot do. So one of the special rights and privileges and obligations of Beis Din is to take care of Nichsei Yisomim, even though Min HaTorah nobody else can really do that, because Min HaTorah you can't do Zechi, you can't do things on behalf of Ketanim.
Apart from
Right. It's right. This is a Chiddush HaTorah. of apotropis. So comes the Shach and says, in Siman Shin Hei, in your day, that he thinks that's what's going on in Huchas Geirus as well. That when the Halacha says that a Ger Kotlin or Dulus or Das Bezdin, and the Gemara says it's based on Zochin Yadam Shal Befanav, the Gemara doesn't mean the regular, simple Zochin of one individual doing for another individual. That may or may not work for a Kotlin. This is Bezdin, that was the words of Rav Huna. Ger Kotlin or Dulus or Das Bezdin. So that Rashi, unfortunately only half the Rashi got on, the other half got chopped off, the part that I needed. But Rashi says that... Yeah, it was there. Oh yeah? I don't know. Okay. Whatever it is. So Rashi, in Ksubas Tapir Alpha, but I'll take my word for it. Rashi does say, if you don't take my word, take the Shach's word for it, that Rashi does say this idea. When Rashi says that Medula saw Das Bezdin, so Rashi says that the Bezdin becomes like the father. Rashi gives that mashal. The Bezdin is like the father of the child. What kind of mashal is that? The Bezdin is the father of the child. The answer is that the same way a parent takes care of a child. So a parent does whatever decisions that have to be made for the child. So Bezdin takes on that role. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of apotropis. And this works not
issue. Rashi says that en lo am.
Yeah, but that's the wrong, that's not the right...
But if Yeshua, who cares about his Abba? He's not anymore...
No, it's the father's bringing him to be Megayah, so the...
But the Abba is not Abba anymore.
Right. Apidin is not the father, but he may, for these purposes, he may have that certain ability to make decisions for him. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Once mom, once
right. Oh, very good. So even though these are very, very different areas of halacha, that's the chiddush of apotropos, says the Shach, that apotropos works for other areas, not just mom. For Moshe, the Gemara says that apotropos can be mafresh trumas and nitrous under certain circumstances for the yisomim. It's not his property. Normally, you can't be mafresh what you don't own. So the answer is that's the chiddush of apotropos. Apotropos is not just mominus. Apotropos is just a heter as well. So Akoponim, we have a few different ways of understanding what's going on in this halachas of Ger Kotlin. How do we understand Ger Kotlin? What's it based on? So the Gemara seems to say it's just plain old Zochim Yadam Shal Befanav. So we have some issues with that. If you hold that there's Zechiah for a Kotlin in a Torah, then we understand it. If you hold there's no Zechiah for a Kotlin in a Torah, then we're forced to fall back on this somewhat different type of Zechiah, namely the unique type of Zechiah called Zechiah ben Apotropos. But Akoponim, both Mahalchim that we're going with are basically Zochim Yadam Shal Befanav oriented, as the Gemara says. Either it's the simple Zochim Yadam Shal Befanav, or it's the Beis Din oriented Zochim. So comes Tosfos and Sanhedrin on the fifth of the Maimakamos, and Tosfos throws a curve on that. Tosfos says that we misunderstood the whole sugya. Says Tosfos and Sanhedrin Samaches in the Beis. Venira, the Zechiah the Geirus, the Domel Ishai Zechiahs. So says Tosfos, the Gemara may call it Zochim Yadam Shal Befanav, but don't be misled. This is not Zochim. You know why? The Masha Bezid Babilno, so Enim Zochim Ba'avuro, Elohu Zochim Ba'atzbo Ba'gufo, Shinas the Gev, Rechasat Eschanat Yashchina. What does normal Zochim mean? Normally Zochim means, I want to give a gift to Reuven. Reuven's not here. I give it to Shimon. Shimon, do me a favor, you pick up the gift on behalf of Reuven. Reuven's not here. Reuven's not doing anything to the gift. He's not involved in the gift physically whatsoever. That's Zochim Yadam Shal Befanav. Here, we're taking a child, we're doing the bris on him. He's getting wet. We're throwing him into the mikvah. He's the one who's being toivel. He's doing the ma'is ha-geirus. So what kind of zochim yadam shal befanav is that? That's not really zochim yadam shal befanav. So comes Tosfos and says, the real reason why this stunt works is because it's nasa begufa shal ha-geir. So the gufa of the kotlin is being megaya. So then ask Tosfos, so what is the Gemara draining us with zochim yadam shal befanav? That the parach b'ksubas tanina zochim yadam shal befanav u'mashanim al b'tayim v'kham v'kher nichalei haynus es Tosfos b'shum dim haysa chayvaso v'hoy ala beizim is matzeya lahachnes gufa b'dava sheyesh lo. So comes Tosfos and says what the Gemara meant as follows. And the Gemara says zochim, it didn't mean the halachic principle of zochim. It wasn't a halachic discussion. It was a sociological discussion. Should we do this or not? Are we crazy? We're taking a non-Jewish kid, throwing him into the mikvah, giving him a bris milah, making him Jewish. Why should we do this? Why are we in this business to do this? If it's bad for the person, why be mean? Why do you ruin the guy's life and make him Jewish? So that's what the Gemara answers. You're not ruining his life. Forget you. You're giving him chayil mavla. You're giving him the greatest thing in the world. You're making him Jewish. It's his chus. So the Gemara says, really, is it a schos? Is it not a schos? But the Gemara concludes, of course it's a schos. So when the Gemara used the term zach levishal b'fanav, that wasn't the halachic mechanism. That's not how the geirus worked. That's the sociological background. Should we do it or should we not do it? Is there a reason to do it? Is it proper? Is it appropriate for us to do it? How does it work? What are the halachic mechanics of that work? She tells us that it's absolutely nothing to do with zach levishal b'fanav, because zach levishal b'fanav never involves the body of the person himself, whereas this geirus involves the body of the person.
Actually, part of the bottle of consent. You're getting the agreement to go on and do the proceeding.
Right, but the proceeding doesn't really need this agreement. It's not that we need it for halachic reasons.
That was your original question. Where is the halachic treatment?
So the answer is, Tosaf says, it was never really, that wasn't the question. Tosaf, that wasn't the question. The question was, should we bother doing this? Is this morally, ethically, sociologically right for us to do this?
So
that was the Gemara's question. Well, what's the halachic?
If we say that he is Togel himself,
right.
But what kind of act is that? He went swimming. He's a Kassan.
So Tosus is assuming a very, very strange that you can have a Geirus, as long as the Maisa Geirus is being done. So Tosus says there's one cast for this Maisa Geirus. Says Tosus, if you continue the Tosus, even though the Gemara says that the Katan can subsequently revoke the Geirus, so if you go with conventional wisdom that it's based on Zochin, the Adam Shalom B'Fanav, or it's apotropous form of Zochin, so then I understand how you can revoke it, because it's no longer his Chos. But if it's based on the Maisa HaKotan, so the Maisa HaKotan took place already, so what do you mean you can revoke it? How can you cancel it? If you hold for some just tremendous Kiddush that you can have a Maisa Geirus without the Das Geirus in a sense, so then how could it ever be cancelled? Hamina,
the
Shigobah Shach.
There's no
Das. So Tosu is assuming that you don't need Das. Tosu is saying you have a Maisa Geirus and Maisa Begufa Kotan. So let's continue for a second. So Tosu says, Hamina, the Shigobah Shach, Aslo Michal Shemichal Mimchos. The Molu Milu Tvila Shokat, Nashayt Begufa. Here's the punchline. The Ein Chaseirun Ela Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Going back to what we spoke about a few weeks before. In order for Geirus to be Chal, you need three things. You need Nila, Tvila, and Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Nila, what do you need Das for Nila for? You're giving the guy a milah, so he's doing the maisa milah. What do you need to ask the tefillah for? Throwing him to the water. He did a tefillah. You don't become Jewish from having milah tefillah. You only become Jewish when you have milah tefillah plus kabbalah samitzvahs. So kabbalah samitzvahs, you can't do it. We're katan. How is a katan going to be makabah mitzvahs? What do you mean you're going to be makabah mitzvahs on his behalf? What is zochin? The Tosfos is assuming that zochin doesn't work for a katan. So how are you ever going to be makabah mitzvahs for a katan? The answer is you're not. When is the kabbalah mitzvahs going to be? The Kabbalah mitzvah is going to be in 12 years from now. When the kid turns bar bas mitzvah and they are not moche, they don't protest, they keep that first Shabbos, they keep that first kashrus, they daven their first tefillah, so they show that they're pretty okay with being Jewish, that is the Kabbalah mitzvah. So according to Tosfos, it's a whole different ballgame, according to the Tosfos and Sanhedrin. According to conventional wisdom, when is the Geirus complete? The Geirus is complete at the moment when we do it to this child. We take this one-day-old baby, we give him a bris, put him into the mikvah. This child is Jewish, 100%. They have the ability to be mocha later. If they're mocha when they turn by mitzvah, igloi milsalim afrei, they weren't Jewish. If they're not mocha later, igloi milsalim afrei, they were Jewish from day one. Because Zachal Yoram Shlomofana permitted us to go through all the steps of Geirus on behalf of this child. That's conventional wisdom. Either regular Zachia or apotropos
is based. Can you go with Tvila, Mila, Kabbalat or Mitzvot later?
That's what Tosfos says. That's what Tosfos sounds like. That's what Tosfos sounds like. It's pretty, it's unbelievable. So Tosfos comes and says, in Sanhedrin, Tosfos comes and says that that's not what's going on here. That what's happening is there's a tremendous gap. There's a break in the action. The meal is being done when he's a 1 day old. The tefillah is being done when he's 2 days old. And then nothing happens for the next 12 and a half years. When the child turns bar bas mitzvah, then we ask them, oh, by the way, do you want to keep mitzvahs? So either we actively ask them or we passively ask them, whatever the answer to that question is, a different story. But once they observe mitzvahs and they're not mocha, they ask the kabbalah mitzvahs, and at what point do they become Jewish? The pashtus is, according to Tosfos, they only become Jewish from that point on. It means before 13, they have to weren't Jewish. So we usually don't assume that way. La halacha, we really don't assume that way. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that this 10-year-old kid touches our wine. This 10-year-old kid is cooking food for us. The day before his bar mitzvah, he's cooking food for us. So is he Jewish or is he not Jewish? So we assume that if when he turns 13 he says he doesn't want to be Jewish, so then he has to throw the wine out. But he says, come on, it's not going to happen. He says, give the kid a good upbringing, he'll want to be Jewish. So you don't have to worry about it. He can cook, he can touch the wine, you can treat him as being a Jew, because we're 99% sure that's what's really going to happen. But lo yitzuya that he says that he's not, and talking about milsim afraid he wasn't. According to those in Sanhedrin, he wasn't Jewish yet. The kid is not Jewish. The Gavis is not Nigmar until later, until the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. That's not true. And then this Kiddush, we usually don't assume this way. The most controversial issue that goes on today in terms of Ger Katan is the following Shaila. We'll throw it out for thought. We'll try to discuss it for a minute, but it's a very, 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 very delicate, sensitive question. That's the following Shaila. A family comes and they're not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but they want to convert a child. They want to adopt a child, whatever, they want to convert a child, and they want to do it, quote unquote, properly. They want this child to be converted by a real Beis Din, by an authentic Beis Din. Can you do that or not? Is that acceptable or not? Is that even going to, forget about whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, that's a whole different question. Will it be chamo? Will it even take effect? So if you go with conventional wisdom, that the whole reason why the Gavis works is because of Zachar B'Yadam Shelo B'Fanav, so then you have to ask yourself a very, very hard question. Is that considered to be a zchus or not? To become Jewish, yet not to be from. Is that a zchus? Usually you think to be Jewish is a big zchus. To be raised, to be a Shomer Shabbos and Kashrus, to go to Yeshiva, that's a tremendous zchus. So zochel and shomer fanav. You're going to raise a kid to be Michal Shabbos, to eat right, never going to go to Yeshiva, he's not going to know anything. And that's a zchus. So one could argue that what kind of zchus is that? If that's not a zchus, so then according to the conventional wisdom in the sugya, the simple reading of the sugya, how dare us, not only how dare us get involved, but we have no halachic basis to get involved. Because all Gavis is relying on the fact that it's a zchus. Unless one wants to take the approach that it's a zchus. It's just intrinsically good to be Jewish. Whether you are Shomer Torah Mitzvah, not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, in and of itself is a good positive thing. Yeah, okay. So that's the question. So we took a kid who could have been a very fine non-Jew, we turned him into a Michal Shabbos. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? So I don't know. That's a very hard question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses that question. Rav Moshe is a tzad to be noit a little bit l'hachav on that shayla. Other poskim were not noit l'hachav. That's a very, very tricky shayla b'zmano. This is a very, very sensitive question. What if you go the second root? You go the root of Tosfos, that the role of higdil l'chol l'mchol is kabbalas ha-mitzvahs. So this is also a very tricky question, because what this means is you're going to take this kid who you're going to convert him at the age of a year old, and when he turns bar mitzvah, quote unquote, he's never went to yeshiva. His parents are Michal Shabbos. His parents eat tzrais. He doesn't know anything. So that's going to be a kabbalas mitzvah. That touches on our old question from a month ago. What kind of kabbalas mitzvah is that? Kabbalas mitzvah of a non-Torah lifestyle. That's not a kabbalas. Pashas not a kabbalas mitzvah. So that also throws a very, very serious question into these kinds of gerusim. This is a very, very real shaila b'zman hazeh. What? Not only what right do we have to do it, but is it even going to be chal, even the d'evit? So different poskim have different opinions about this. Some poskim have, you know, at least certain basic minimum standards. I mean, even if the kid's not going to be 100% everything, at least the parents have to commit to enroll the kid in yeshiva. At least the parents have to, you know, potentially keep some form of Shabbos. There's something. Otherwise, time to make a kid totally not from. So that's a very, very serious question. Again, this is a very, very sensitive question that the Bani Dinim today are still trying to be done on based on some of the details of this.